Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. With two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor. Select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas. Play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Aloha on a beautiful Wednesday and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. I'm joined as always by Jihei Wiley, Armani Buckets, and Brandon Deutsch. How are we doing on this glorious Wednesday?
You know, no complaints. I don't know if you guys do. I'm a little bummed about the ridiculous effort on Tatum's part for last night's game, and then they come up with the L. But you know what? That perfect record is still intact for Miami, and we'll see what happens. I still got faith in Boston, even though I know none of you guys want to hear that. I still got faith in Tatum and Brown and Boston, and they possibly might be getting Marcus Smart back soon. So with that, you know,
I'm doing well as well. You know, it's a great day, beautiful day. Everywhere, probably in Hawaii, Las Vegas, I haven't checked the weather, but
all beautiful vacation locations.
But I mean, the Heat needed that game, and we'll get into that. They needed that game.
it really seemed like this was going to be a defensive battle, but it was a really fun offensive battle. And Jason Tatum, Jimmy Butler, I cannot wait to see the rest of that series.
All right, with that said, let's get to today's headlines. Brought to you by Circa Sports. Circa Million, Circa Survivor Pro Football Contests are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Visit Circa Sports.com for details. Hit it, GH.
Well, Jimmy Butler scored 27 of his 41 points in the second half, and a huge third quarter by the Miami Heat carried them to 118-107 win over the Boston Celtics in game one of the Eastern Conference Finals on Tuesday night. What stood out most about the Heat's performance, guys, and do you think that the Heat can go up 2-0 tomorrow night?
It was Jimmy Butler. This is playoff Jimmy Butler. What an amazing performance. And I always, you know, knew that he was that kind of player. I did not think the bubble was some kind of fluke, but this really shows that Jimmy Butler is for real, that Heat team is for real. I don't think that they can win and go up 2-0. I'm telling you why. You just touched on it, Jay. Marcus Smart is going to come back. Horford perhaps can come back. They were shorthanded. Fantastic game. But the thing that stuck out to me is watching what Jimmy Butler did. Jimmy Buckets, again, not only having 41 points, but 27 of those points coming in the second quarter. He outscored the entire Celtics team alone by himself in the third quarter. Big players do that in big situations. Second half, third quarter. Those are the moments where big players come out and say, hey, listen, this is the postseason. This is the conference finals. I'm going for it.
Yeah, I mean, you got to also realize, like, all the stats for the regular season out the window.
Yep.
If you can't do it in the playoffs, then you know what are we doing here? As the infamous Tony Kornheiser would say, what are we doing here? I get it. I get that Jimmy Butler was Jimmy Butler, but at the same time, I would love to see the Celtics not shorthanded against a Miami Heat as well, against a playoff Jimmy Buckets, against that whole entire squad. So, again, I'm looking forward to hopefully Marcus Smart coming back, you know, for game two and evening up the series.
If you're a Celtics fan, you should feel very confident. Robert Williams has not looked like that since the regular season after he had his meniscus injury, and he was arguably their third most important player in the regular season. That version of him that we saw at least in the first half, that's a defensive player of the year type of player. You add that along with Marcus Smart, as you mentioned, Jihei, and Al Horford, Jason Tatum, they switched up the defense on him in the second half. That first half, he looked like arguably the best player on planet Earth. And I really think once you get this Celtics team fully healthy, Celtics in six.
It's so funny. Did you guys see the Skip Bayless tweet?
Yes, I
where
did.
He goes off and he's like, jinx. He's unstoppable. Yeah.
I'm the
like,
jinx god.
Yeah, and I'm like, it's only the first half. Stop tweeting. Look, stop tweeting.
When we talk about Jimmy Butler, obviously he's great in the playoffs. He's averaging 30 points per game. And the assists, the playmaking over the past couple of seasons, ever since the bubble, has just astronomically increased. 7.1 assists per game last season. And before he got hurt, he played 52 games last year. He was one of my votes for the MVP early on with the Heat, but obviously they didn't give, we talked about this, didn't give enough teams in the bubble a lot of time to recover. He got hurt, you know, and then the Heat got bounced in the first round, right? This year, his playmaking was great again, 6 assists a game. And we talk about him being a playoff monster. Yes, he's better in the playoffs, but he was fantastic when he was healthy in the regular season as well. He's turned into kind of like a point guard type, like, player, even though he's a forward, like a point forward, which is crazy considering at the beginning of his career, he was all defense and scoring. And now he's this elite playmaker, this elite rebounder that can take over games. He was the best player on the floor in game one.
Yeah.
I mean, you also have to make adjustments as well, right, as the playoffs get here. So he can't be what he was in the regular season. He has to be something different in the postseason, right? So that's why those numbers go up. Well, the Orlando Magic won last night's NBA draft lottery and will pick number one overall for the first time since 2004 when they selected Dwight Howard. How'd that go for you, Orlando? Orlando also
went really well for them. He led them to the NBA Finals.
It went great. Yeah.
Didn't
win a ring.
I hate to interrupt you, but wait, what? Look at Dwight Howard, and I need my boy Brandon back. One of the all-time greatest big men during his time with the Magic. Now, we got the tail end of that, unfortunately. When he came to the Lakers, he had a bad back. Dwight Howard in Orlando was next level. What the heck
is Shaq? It was like prime Shaq almost.
Are you telling me Shaq was a dud?
Oh, you cannot compare the two.
Brandon.
Shaq, okay, Dwight Howard in the beginning of his career was close to prime Shaq statistics. Like, was he dominant?
What are you talking about? Close to is not exact, though.
Of course, but like...
Shaq!
It's as close as you're going
to
get to Shaq.
The Magic were not supposed to go to that finals, and they did.
They
went to the NBA Finals. The Magic.
I love how you guys think
over the Celtics and
the Celtics, Doc Rivers,
LeBron.
I love how you guys think that getting to the finals is just as good as winning the finals.
For a small market, it's fantastic.
It's amazing.
Yeah, but there are other small markets that have done it. Milwaukee has done it. Small markets that have done it. It just because
it doesn't have to be one or the other. I can give Giannis Antetokounmpo credit for being an all-time great player. I could also say Dwight in Orlando. Do you not think that pick was a good pick? Dwight Howard was a dud.
I don't think he lived up to his potential.
What was his potential like in Orlando? He was the best big man.
He should have had the, like, I mean, and here's the other thing too. You guys are thinking that I think that he's horrible. I think he's a great player. I just think that considering what he looks like out running out the gate, he has that basketball body.
First of all, they drafted him straight out of high school, so who the heck knows how good he's going to be? I'm saying Dwight Howard with the Orlando Magic, he single-handedly led a team that we can go like look at how good that team was. Wasn't that good. Got them to the NBA Finals, and they lost to Kobe and the Lakers. I mean, that team went to 3 straight finals, won back-to-back titles, but he led them to the finals over LeBron James and the Cavs and over Paul Pierce and the Celtics. I mean, it was an
incredible. Who were the Magic supposed to wait for? Kwame Brown the next season, you know, or like, or before then? Like, Dwight Howard was a sure thing selection. I think what happened in his career, and I agree with you, Jihei, when he left the Magic, he should have done more.
100%. His career as a whole.
Exactly. But for the Magic, he was the most dominant big in the league for like 6-7 years.
And how he left the Magic, he really soured the whole fan base and the organization. A guy that should have been on the level of Shaq in terms of beloved for the foreseeable future, the way he left the Magic, the way he kind of forced his way out. I'm not saying that players shouldn't be allowed to do that, but that's what really soured.
Reminds me of James Harden's career trajectory, right?
Well, do we want to get into this headline?
No, let's continue with the headline. I just was like, wait, was that a bad pick for Orlando? I thought it was that
well, too. But it didn't win him a ring.
They're not going to get the main point here is they're not going to get a Shaq. They're not going to get a Penny, and they're not going. Okay. They're going to botch this pick and take Jabari Smith. We all know it.
By the way, Gia, okay. I agree with you. I do think as a Lakers fan, that is my knock against this fan base because it's like if you did not win a ring, what did you do? But, gee, I'm not going to look at Shaq as a dud with the Orlando Magic because they didn't win a ring. They got to the finals. They got swept in the finals by a superior Houston Rockets team. But I'm not going to look back at that time period. First of all, they're a small market team, so they draft well. And
then Houston was a small market team. I mean, we can go on and on.
Wait, Houston's not a small market.
Houston's a big market now.
It's their biggest city in
the world. And technically, Orlando is in Florida, isn't it? So is that really a small market?
Orlando as a city is a small market. Okay. Houston as a population is like third or top five, you know. But I'm saying, if you take a team that is not, historically, hasn't done squat, and you take him to the finals, like, kudos to you. Like, I'm not saying, like, you know, now, a Lakers fan base would be like, what the heck? I mean, I've always thought it's fascinating that one of the most disappointing teams in Lakers franchise history is that Karl Malone GP. Like, that team won the Pacific Division, gets to the finals, and I still say to this day, if they were healthy, if Karl Malone was healthy, I think that they beat the Pistons, or at least that's a good series, but that team made it to the NBA Finals, and they're thought of as one of the worst teams ever.
Yeah, they say that's the second most disappointing team in Lakers history, and last year was obviously the most disappointing team in history. But they, you know, that's crazy to me. I agree.
Okay, well, I'm going to go back to this headline.
Sorry.
It's okay. Do you think that the Magic can get a similarly franchise-changing play with the number one overall pick this year, guys?
First of all, it was really cool to see the Magic get that. I had flashbacks when I was, like, younger, and they had those back-to-back first picks in the draft, and they got, you know, Shaq obviously was huge, and everyone knew Shaq would be the first pick. What an amazing draft that was. You know, Christian Laettner gets big, Alonzo Mourning, and then the next year, I mean, people forget. Penny for Chris Webber. Not only did they get Penny, they got three first round picks because Chris was thought of as like the guy. I will let you guys discuss because you already touched on it. I think they're going to get a very good player, but maybe not the same transcendent player.
Of course, and this is a weak draft, right? I mean, they're going to have the pick of the litter, but in recent memory, they have botched a couple of their selections and they've been lacking in player development. Jalen Suggs had a miserable year. He could get better in year two. Markelle Fultz is finally getting better, right? But they didn't draft Markelle Fultz. John Isaac's always hurt, but he's good when he's on the floor. Cole Anthony's gotten better, but he's a liability defensively. And Franz Wagner is good as well. So in recent years, they've been a bit better, although the Jalen Suggs one is like, okay, what do you do? Like, he was the best player available at that point. I guess now in retrospect, Josh Giddey could have been a selection there, but he wouldn't have improved to what he is now. They're going to take Jabari Smith. They want the safe pick. I don't know why. I would take upside here. I don't care. I mean, you know, we love Jaden Ivey, Jihei, but they have so many guards. They can't pick Jaden Ivey. I would pick Holmgren here, but, like, they're going to take Jabari Smith. And Jabari Smith is going to be a good player. Don't get me wrong. But I'm if you're picking in the top five, top ten, you want upside. And Holmgren has way more upside than Jabari Smith.
And I think considering what their needs are, I feel like Chet would be more of a better fit for that 100%. Organization.
He'd impact them immediately defensively, and he would be a shooter that could, you know, Cole Anthony and Jalen Suggs could get more assists to him off of pick and pop. So I think it's a perfect fit, but I just know that they're going to pick Jabari Smith for whatever reason.
I love the young culture that they're building down there. This team reminds me, now obviously Memphis has a Ja Morant, but they remind me of building that young core that Memphis has. Wendell Carter Jr., you mentioned it. Cole Anthony.
Mo Bamba's finally great, right?
I agree. I would take Chet, and I would hope that he fills out to be that upside player. I'm not as low as Jabari as you are, Brandon, but I would take Chet if I had that pick. It's unfortunate because we all like Jade and Ivy here, but as you said, they have a plethora of guards, so it doesn't really make sense for them. But this team is going to be so exciting for the foreseeable future. It's just that they don't have that guy.
And I'm not low on Jabari Smith. I just think he's not. I don't know why everyone's saying he's the best player in this draft. I mean, number one, in a weak draft like this, you need upside, and that's Holmgren. Smith can shoot. He can play defense. He is like a power forward, less talented KD, right? Way less talented KD. And he's going to shoot threes at a high level and block shots, right? But upside, it's Holmgren.
I 100%, I think we all agree with you on that one. Well, the Western Conference Finals begins tonight with the Golden State Warriors taking on the Dallas Mavericks. Circus Sports has the Golden State Warriors as the favorites. Who do you guys like in this series, and which team has a better shot to take down whichever team comes out of the East?
I like the second part of this question because I do think it's the Warriors, and I don't know why. A part of that has to do with them having been here in this position before, and I think that doesn't get talked about enough, is that, you know, for the first time since 2019, the Warriors are back in this situation, back in the conference finals with a chance to get to the finals. Klay Thompson beginning to look like himself, Steph Curry, Draymond Green. So I like the Warriors in this series. Really fascinated to see how this turns out, because you guys have gotten me onto this Mavericks train where I'm like thinking of like, wow, like the power of Luka. Is Luka, but maybe this is another question for you guys, is Luka Doncic the best player currently left here in the playoffs?
I would say so. The difference in this series is that Phoenix was not taking the ball out of Luka's hands. They were basically single guarding him, and they weren't allowing other... They were basically making it Luka against the Suns, and Luka dominated them. I expect the Warriors to have a different approach. I expect to see a lot of double teams, a lot of getting the ball out of Luka's hands, and because he has the ball in his hands 80% of the time, when you take it out of his hands, it's going to be on guys like Dorian Finney-Smith, Jalen Brunson, Spencer Dinwiddie. Those guys have to step up and carry the Mavericks. I think it's going to take an adjustment period for them to get used to playing that way, but I do like Dallas. Maybe not tonight, but in this series.
Yeah, I think Golden State wins tonight. I like Dallas in the series. I've reiterated that the past couple shows. I just think they rotate so well on defense. They got depth, and no one can guard Luka on that team. Question here is going to be, what is Kerr going to do with Draymond? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the Mavericks don't have the best big men, right? And are they going to go big? Are they going to put Draymond or Wiggins on Luka? Are they going to put Draymond? Because Draymond is really the key to this series. One of the best defensive players of the past, like I'll say, the past 30, 40 years. He's a great defender. One of the best to ever play the game positionally. And right here, it's going to be important how Kerr uses him. That could be the key to the series. If the Warriors want to win the series, they got to defend not just Luka, but Dinwiddie and Brunson incredibly and rotate well, something they didn't do extremely well against the erratic Grizzlies. Mavericks are a much more mature team that rotates both offensively and defensively.
Yeah, I think it's all going to be about adjustments at this point, right? Which not every single, not a lot of coaches are able to do. I'm leaving his name out of the rotation because he's no longer vying for a spot for the NBA championship. But there are some guys out there that just can't make adjustments. Kerr, that Mo can make adjustments, man. Like he can definitely switch things over.
You're talking about my man Doc Rivers.
I am talking about your man Doc
Rivers. Future coach of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Hey, can we say one thing? He was named as a top 15 NBA coach of all time.
Champion. He's a champion.
Are you kidding me? I'm sorry. You
know, like champ is in the house.
That's disrespectful to basketball.
If he does not have those three guys for the Boston Celtics, and you don't win a title,
you need players to win a championship. What coaches won without good players? There's no coaches that won without good players.
NBA title, yes, you're right.
That's all I'm saying.
But I'm just saying, like, he did not make. You can look down the line and see the adjustments he did not make during his playoff stretches.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about it. Three and one. You're up 3-1 and you biff it? Like what? Like who does that?
I wonder if Doc Rivers appears in your dreams, G. It always comes around and
more
is like,
nightmares.
He's in your mind, in your nightmares.
More of my nightmares. not really in my dreams. Well, let's move forward. The unions for the United States men's and women's national soccer teams have ratified new collective bargaining agreements with U.S. Soccer that include an equal split of World Cup bonuses, the Federation, and the two unions announced on Wednesday. How big is this moment, guys, for women's sports and both teams getting an equal split of World Cup bonuses moving forward.
This is massive, and I know it's not the same in all the countries out there. For example, in Brazil, in maybe, you know, France and other countries where, like, the men's team is. But women's soccer here, you know, I was at the Rose Bowl back in 99 when they sold out the Rose Bowl and they won the World Cup. And I've been to so many women's World Cup matches where they've sold out the place. And, you know, the power that these women have, and they deserve a piece, not just a piece of the pie, it's the same as the men. And so this is great. I don't know if it'll be a trend-setting thing. I do get, in, perhaps in Brazil and other countries like that, where it's not going to be 50-50. Big moment for the U.S. women to get that respect. I'm so happy for them. They've been fighting for it for a long time, since 2018. But yeah, huge moment, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree with you as far as the national team is concerned. Yeah. Those women deserve that money. They deserve, you know, the treatment that the men get because they put in the numbers. If you look at the numbers, they put in the numbers that the men get.
Yeah.
If we're talking MLS, it's a totally different scenario. Sure. I'm not even going to go there. I'm not even going to even bring that up. And I'm dropping it. But yeah, for this is great. Moving forward, this is awesome. And let's just hope that it crosses over.
But to your point, Gia, I think that is right. Because I think when you look at the national teams, the women are in contention for the World Cup final. They are selling out stadiums. You know, when you talk about the professional leagues, then you can kind of talk about what's the attendance, what's the TV contract. You know, then you can get into that. But in terms of the national teams, the U.S. women deserve their fair share, and they finally have it now.
Yeah, when you're so dominant in a sport like they are, I mean, they deserve the money.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
dominant. They're putting United States soccer on the map. Unfortunately, the men have not done that yet, and they will get better. The men are getting better, and they'll participate in this year's World Cup. It's in December, which is odd, obviously, because of the heat in the Middle East, but... look, this is monumental, and they deserve more and more money. I can't say enough by how inspirational they are to young athletes, not just females, males too, especially with soccer in this country.
This women's team, as you just mentioned, Brandon, has changed the whole landscape of American soccer.
Yep.
Some of the greatest moments of this past, of the 2010s, were from that women's team and the runs that they made in the World Cup. So actually, a little ignorant on my part, I didn't even know that they weren't equally paid, but it is very good that they are equally paid. If anything, they should be making more.
No, I totally agree. Okay, let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend Kayla Kinnear. And when we return on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, The Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. With two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor. Select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas. Play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still clown when the underground when
we come around. Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or a comment or want to win tickets to a future Galaxy or Sparks game, call our hotline, 310-400-0340. Okay, let's go to the Circa Sports guest hotline. Circa Million, Circa Survivor, Pro Football Contest with $12 million in guaranteed prizes are back. Visit CircaSports.com for details. Here she is, our good friend Kayla Kinnear. Kayla, how are you?
I'm well, guys. How are you?
Good. Kayla, we were really looking forward to having you on and talking about the Kings being in the second round, and I do have to blame myself. I did go to Game 6. You saw me at Game 6. I gave you a big hug. The Kings did tie it up 2-2 in the third period, and I'm thinking, here we go. Let's talk about the Kings briefly, but before We do. Just talk about the atmosphere, Kayla. Again, in your first few years with the team, they were in a rebuilding process. Now they are a legit contender, an amazing seven-game series. What was it like to work a Kings playoff game?
You guys, it was incredible. I had chills. The very first game we hosted, obviously we didn't get a win in that one, but I have not seen or Staples in the 4 years that I've been there. And I'm so happy I got to witness it and experience it. It was packed. It was loud. People were on their feet. They were screaming. They were waving their rally towels around, especially in that game four that happened on that Sunday night. When we got the win at home, that was unlike anything I've seen, again, in my 4 years with the Kings. And it was just so good to experience that and know that we can get to that place and that fans are going to show up and they're going to be loud and they're going to be all in. And obviously it didn't end the way we wanted to, but I'm just really glad. Like, no one expected us to get there this year. No one thought we would get that far. So the fact that we even got to the playoffs and then took the Oilers to seven games, I think was a huge win. But it has me hungry for more. I wanted more of that. So yes, it ended shorter than we would have liked, but I'm hoping we'll get back there next year and the years to come, because this is a really good young team. And again, we were ahead of schedule. So I think big things are ahead for the Kings.
You know, touch on also the Kings fan base, Kayla. I thought it was amazing. You know, the game started at 7:30, I think, and fans were there like at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, pre-gaming. It was really cool that when we went to see you, all these Kings fans talking to you about your life and about the Chiefs in Kansas City, and there seems to be such a connection there with the fan base.
Absolutely. I mean, especially with the season ticket holders, they connection not only with the team, but with the people who work for the team. Like, they are obsessed with everyone from the top down. And I feel like my connection with the fans really grew this year. I credit that to my co-host, Mikey. He's always, you know, right in there with the fans. And they obviously follow on social media, so they know we follow. So yes, they'll come up and talk to me about the Chiefs all the time, which I love, because actually there's a handful of Kings fans who are big Chiefs fans, ironically. But I just love the connection we've been able to make with them throughout the years. And I don't know why this year it just felt like we got a lot closer. I think because we were away for them for that 21 season. So but yeah, they are diehard. The diehard fans are there before games, early. They show up, win or lose. We've got just an incredible fan base, and I'm just so happy that I got to know them more this season.
So, Kayla, the schedule came out. I'm sure you saw it, you know, for the Chiefs in particular, because I'm wondering, you know, when you looked at that schedule and you saw the games, and they play at Los Angeles November 20th, they play at Las Vegas, Kayla. I'm sure you're going to be at that game January 8th. When you looked at the Chiefs schedule, did you figure out when you're going to go back home to Kansas City? Again, the fact that they're coming to Los Angeles, which you knew, but also Las Vegas, that's going to be fun.
Yes, I will try to get to as many Chiefs games in my area as possible. I think they also host the Rams, which
that's
I
right.
think would be an incredible game, because that's the first time they'll play each other since that crazy Monday night game.
November 27th, that's going to be amazing.
I would love to go back to that at Arrowhead. I think that would be awesome. But yeah, it's not going to be an easy schedule, but I've got all the faith in the world. So I'm still very high on my Chiefs. And I will try to see them. I will definitely see them when they come to LA.
Yeah.
Let's take a field trip to Vegas, guys.
Let's go to
the Chiefs Raiders game.
January 8th, Las Vegas road trip.
You don't need to twist my arm to go to
right.
Vegas. So I'll pen that in for my to my calendar. I'm so down.
Yeah, Kayla, it's Brandon Deutsch here. I wanted to ask you a question about the Oklahoma City Thunder possible reunion, maybe, with Westbrook. I know you brought it up a couple weeks ago. Lakers obviously are looking for trade partners, or maybe not with recent reports, since they're asking coaches about how they would implement Westbrook into a rotation next season. Do you think the Oklahoma City Thunder, that a team that you followed so much, will take him back and his $47 million next year? I mean, it's only 1 year. And if the Lakers give them a first-round pick, you know Sam Presti loves those
That's
picks.
That's right.
I mean, we have enough picks, right? So 100%. I mean, obviously, I don't know financial dealings and the money and all of that. I don't know how that works, but player that is more beloved by a fan base, I don't think, in my opinion, than Westbrook is with Oklahoma City. I think he had a great relationship, not only with the front office, but especially with that fan base. And they would 100% welcome him back with open arms, no questions asked. I would love nothing more than to see that, especially he can be who he is in that city and with that team, because at this point he is a well-seasoned vet. This is a very young team now, and he can play the role that Westbrook is so good at playing. So I think there's no better fit, and I would love nothing more than to see him back in OKC. And the fans would love nothing more as well. I can speak for them.
You hear that, Rob Pelinka? If he's listening, send him to OKC. I don't care if we get Derek Favors and Mike Muscala in return. Get him off of our hands. Send him back, right?
Kayla, speaking of the Thunder, you guys got the number 2 pick in the draft yesterday. Is there somebody that you want specifically? And also, in terms of making the playoffs, obviously the Thunder are a very young team, but when is it time to eventually make the play, at least the play-in tournament? Is that next season, or when is that?
Oh my gosh. I don't feel like I can be super picky with this team, because we had such a good run so early that literally, like, no one expected us to be that good that fast. So I think have to be patient with this young roster and this rebuilding phase we're in, and go forever without being good. So I'm not going to be picky. I would obviously love to see them do well as quickly as possible, but I know these things take time. And again, I think Sam Presti is so good at what he does, and I'm not worried about this team whatsoever. I know they'll figure it out. Of course, I would love to see them in the play-in tournament next season, but at the same time, I'm just going to be patient, because I know, especially as you mentioned, with all those draft picks, like, good things are to come for this team, whether it be next season or in the next. I would love to see them there, of course, 3 seasons, but I'm not going to be mad if they don't get there next season.
Kayla, I mean, I know that, like, our friendship grew because of, you know, because of sports initially, but I got to ask you, are you going to BravoCon?
Okay, I'm confused. Is it happening right now, or is that just like an announcement? Because I saw Andy's story and I was like, wait, I thought it wasn't until October, the fall or something.
So it is. It's October 14th to the 16th. So I'm just saying New York road trip would be amazing. It would be a lot of fun going to New York in the fall.
Down. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And our show Southern Charm is coming back in a few weeks. And yes. I cannot wait.
Yes, I am super excited. It looks very dramatic. So especially with the addition of Paige. So I'm excited.
It was quite a trailer.
Kayla, tell us what are you looking at when you're looking at the conference finals right now? You do a lot of sports wagering, picks, analysis at Doubtkick, and you break down these games. What kind of so we had the conference finals last night, the Bucks and the Celtics, the Heat take game one, not the Bucks, the Heat took game one, and then tonight we got the Warriors. And we have the Mavericks. What intrigues you about these conference finals?
I just think it's wide open. Of course, I think I mentioned this before. I was rooting for the Bucks and the Grizzlies, like my mid-America teams. But now that is not an option. So I definitely thought the Heat were going to win last night. They have that perfect home record, and of course they got it done. I do think the Celtics will disrupt their perfect home record in this series, and I can definitely see the Celtics coming out of this one. I always said I think whoever comes out of the East will go on to win it all, but I don't know. This Mavericks team has me intrigued, because they're just coming off this run with the Suns, and I think they absolutely can handle the Warriors. So I would love to see maybe a Celtics-Mavericks finals. Anyone but the Warriors, really.
Yeah.
Sorry to the fans of the Warriors, but I just, like, they've been there. They get it. I mean, of course, so have the Heat and Celtics, but yeah, I think it would be fun to get a new team in there, so I'm excited to see what they do. Obviously, Luka's playing out of his mind, and I think he's the best player left playing right now. So I would love to see that for Dallas. But I think I am picking the Mavericks tonight to cover. So all right, we'll see if that happens.
Well, Kayla, you're the best. We miss you. I know you've got work calling you right now. So you are, we want you back in studio next Wednesday. So thanks so much, and we will see you back. Okay, perfect. Thanks, Kayla.
Thank you, guys. Miss you all.
Thank you, Kayla.
All right. That was Kayla. Again, she normally joins us in studio on Wednesdays, but she had work calling. She could not join us, but we do have some time here that I do want to get into a column that Brandon wrote. and it is about Russell Westbrook. And I think we all thought it was pretty cut and dry. This was not a confusing thing. I mean, the only question was, you know, what were the Lakers going to get back? Because I thought this was going to be an addition by subtraction. When you have a player, and I don't want to call him a cancer because it's such a cliche and that's such a bad word in my view, but you have a player who doesn't want to be on this team. And when the season was done, he removed, I believe, all the Lakers pictures, anything to do with the Lakers off of his social media. And I get it. This was a disaster. This was a nightmare. You had fans calling him names. You had fans calling his kids' names at school or something along those lines. I mean, this was a bad situation for him. But we're hearing more and more that the Lakers, because they do not want to give up future first-round picks, which makes sense. I get it. I mean, the fact of the matter is they got lucky. The Lakers got lucky last night that was not the number one overall pick in the draft or something crazy like that. But it's still a top 10 pick. So, Brandon, this idea that the next Lakers coach, one of the first questions, according to Sam Amick, is how are you going to use Russell Westbrook? Because there is a good chance, and I can't believe I'm saying it, that you're going to run it back with Russell Westbrook. So what does this look like?
Yeah, and you know, when these Russell Westbrook reports of coming back surfaced, I was thinking, okay, that's probably why Terry Stotts is toward the top of the list. I completely disagree with that whole format. I've voiced my concerns about them trying to be an offensive powerhouse. They're not going to hang with the Warriors, not going to hang with even Charlotte in a 140-point, you know, back-and-forth game. They need to be great defensively, and also, it's one of these things that they need to prioritize defense. I'm so tired of them going into interviews saying, how would you, like, what are these assistants supposed to say? Like, yeah I'm going to do a great job with Russell Westbrook. No, there's no way you can fit Russell Westbrook alongside LeBron. In the games he played with just Anthony Davis, he was good. There's stats to prove that. He was efficient. He was great when it was just him and Davis. But when LeBron's on the court with Russell Westbrook, it just goes, you know, to hell. It's awful. Yeah. So my article discusses the trade options, and I have six options. You know, you can go to ballersportsdialogue.substack.com.
Can you preview like each one? Give like a little taste of each one?
Because
I think this is, I mean, this is what the Lakers are currently doing right now. They got to figure this out. And by the way, as much as I think that they have to move them, as much as I would like to kind of push all their chips in and say, hey, let's try to win this, I get trying to say, hey, listen, we can't also give up two first-round picks and a 21-year-old kid who could become something great.
Yeah, especially they got PTSD from giving up on all these young guys early. And I'm high on Talen Horton-Tucker still. I've seen him do stuff with his offensive bag that not many other people in the league his age can do. And I get it. He's not consistent at all yet. But I'm not so pessimistic about giving Talen Horton-Tucker up. Yeah. But so I have that in a couple of my options. And I have six options here. I brought the one up to Kayla about Oklahoma City.
Interesting.
And getting back even just a Derek Favors, Mike Muscala.
Just something. I really believe like addition by subtraction. If you can get something back, great. I mean, I'm not expecting, you know, a superstar.
Yeah, so yeah. Pelinka definitely needs to reach out to Sam Presti. The one that I'm most intrigued about, and they'll have to give up two first-round picks for this one, 2027 and 2029, and that's the one I do think that as a GM I would do. At this point, you got to say F them picks and just go all in to get to immediate contention. And the best possible scenario for that is Brogdon and Buddy Hield.
Yeah.
And I know Hield isn't an elite defender, but he'd be the best spot-up shooter LeBron James has ever had on the Lakers. And the Indiana Pacers, look, they want to get rid of these big contracts, right? So I believe that this is the path to immediate contention. They'll now get into the playoffs with this trade. They'll get Russell Westbrook off of the hands. Brogdon's a great two-way player. Health is another issue. You already got Davis missing games. Brogdon hasn't played more than 70 games in his career. So it is a bit concerning there. That's the best option. There's also the Charlotte option, which I completely disagree with. Rozier can't really play defense. I know he did on the Celtics, but in recent years he has been terrible, and the Hornets have been terrible at defense. Hayward, longer contract, injury prone. At least Russell's healthy.
Yeah.
You know, I know he doesn't fit with the team, but at least he plays, right? Like, that's important. Trade option three talks about Houston, maybe reaching out to them again, not about John Wall, but about Christian Wood and Eric Gordon and sending a first rounder, Westbrook, and then 2 second rounders and seeing if that's an option. Now, Christian Wood isn't the best defender, but he is at least a young guy who continues to improve his offensive game every year and his defensive game, honestly. He's not the worst defender. He's not like a complete liability defensively. And Eric Gordon's one of the best shooters in the league still. I know he's old, and Rob Pelinka and the Lakers have voiced concerns about the age and they want to get younger, but this is another path to like immediate contention if Wood can continue to improve.
That's interesting that now they want to go younger, but go on.
Yeah, you know, they should have had this mindset last year. But then the other one is Jeremy Grant with the Pistons. One of these options is like, obviously, Jeremy Grant wants an extension. The Lakers could give him that as soon as next season once they have cap room, if they get rid of, you know, whether or not they get rid of Westbrook or not. Cade Cunningham runs his team. They don't want that. The question is, Cade plays at a slow pace. Russell plays at a high pace. Do you want Russell to come in and kind of confuse opposing defenses with Cade? Would that work? Would that not? Obviously, they'd have to give up another first rounder unprotected in 2027 or 2029. Mm-hmm. Regardless, they would have to give that up for Jeremy Grant. That's another path. Are the Pistons, do they even want that? I mean, Russell Westbrook would sell tickets, but so does Cade Cunningham now. He's a future star, right? And then the last option I discuss is the Wizards. And I know this sounds crazy because they just got rid of Russell Westbrook, but do they want Porzingis long term? I think it's a matter of time before Porzingis and Beal leave. I know Beal wants to work it out. He wants to turn this into a contending franchise, but it's just not going to happen. I'm sorry. The East is getting stronger. They need to rebuild. Kyle Kuzma, getting him from the Lakers was great. He was fantastic. He flourished on the team this year, but they weren't.
Can they just get the players back? Can they get Kuzma?
I wish. That's out of the question. So Wizards obviously won that trade.
Yeah.
But think about it. Russell Westbrook was great on the Wizards. Yep. He led them to the postseason. He got him a game against the Philly team that was pretty dominant defensively. I know he didn't show up the rest of the series, but they were miserable at the beginning of the year, similar to the Pelicans this last year. Pelicans started like 2-14. Yep. Wizards were the worst team in the league, and then they made the playoffs. Russell Westbrook had this incredible second half. I don't think they'd be opposed to taking him back for a Porzingis if they can get another first-round pick.
Here's the thing. I'm not saying he's the player that he was before, but Russell Westbrook is not as bad as he was last season. I mean, that was just a bad fit with the Lakers. I think if he's on a different team where he could be himself, you're not going to win a championship with them, but he could average a triple-double. He's going to put like butts in seats. He's going to sell jerseys.
I think what's most concerning and why a trade, you know, there hasn't been a lot of traction towards a trade at this moment. Obviously, the teams can't talk until the free agency periods begin, but it's because his player efficiency rating was the worst of his career last season. Worse than his rookie season. Worse.
Yeah.
How are you worse than your rookie season efficiently? His effective field goal percentage was down. His true shooting percentage was down. His turnovers were up. He did not score to the level, get to the rim at the percentage he did previously. And it was a huge drop off. Yeah. And that's why the analytics departments of smart organizations, the Lakers don't have an analytics department. They need one to get better long term. That's where the game's going. But like 20 player efficiency rating to 15. Is a huge drop off. He was top 60 in player efficiency rating last year. And look, I know it's not great, but it's Russell Westbrook. He's not the most efficient player. He's 100th.
The thing with Westbrook is if you take him and put him on a bad team, he's going to lift you up enough that you're like an 8 or 9 seed, but not enough where you're a good team. Yeah. And then not only that, he needs the ball in his hand. So if you're a young team, he's not going to allow for the young players on your team to develop alongside of him, which is why if I'm a team like the Wizards, I get it. If I'm in that situation, I would want to be the worst team possible so I can get the number one pick. And Westbrook is just good enough where you're like the 10th pick and not the first pick.
Well, there's also that's kind of what the Pacers are going through right now. Do they want to get Westbrook? They were interested in him in the past. They want to offload future contracts. Do they want him with Haliburton? Because Haliburton needs the ball in his hands, right? So that could be a terrible fit too. I don't know. The only positive with Westbrook, he sells tickets and, you know, he could still flourish for a bad team. Houston is probably the best option right now, but we'll see.
We'll see. We will be talking about this a lot, I think. That's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.